Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
It is Steve, and welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're here, and I have two of my favorite people with me. Mylon Yurkovich and Becky Brown are on, and you can talk with them at 1-800-229-3000. But I'll say hi to them first. Yes, hi, guys. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, and Becky, you're one of my favorites also.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Not just, you guys are both my favorites, too.
Not just Steve gets to be your favorite.
Yeah. Well, I said guys because I'm just back from California, and in California, guys are both men and women.
Yes.
But here's the thing.
Becky's definitely not a guy.
That is true. Here's the thing. We're going to do a conference, and it's going to be Saturday, and it's on the repurposed life. What it's about is anybody that is struggling to find your place in this world, meaning maybe you think you've gone too far, sinned too much, or you're just lost and wandering or depressed, I'm telling you, we're going to help you find the call, live into the call. It's going to be an amazing experience for you. 4 hours. Misty's going to speak. She's incredible. Been in recovery longer than me and so wise and sought after. Becky runs recovery groups. Come join us. It's 4 hours. That's it. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, I want the recovery conference that's about repurposing your life. Recovery is for everyone. Becky, what are you going to be talking about?
Well, I'm going to be talking about recovery from a pandemic. Now, you may think that that's an odd subject, but listen, we've all experienced that, but we've all had different reactions to it. You know, Steve, when you define the repurposed life, I think about the people who are stuck, whether it is in grief, whether it is because of something that happened to them, and they just think, well, this is life for the rest of my life, and they're going to miss out on what God has for them. So I'm also going to talk about how to work recovery, which, you know, if you are curious about recovery or if you don't know anything or maybe you are working it and you need a little bit of an encouragement, we're going to have a great day. It's going to be the easiest thing you do this week, I think. What do you think, Steve?
I think it's going to be an amazing time together, and I'm really excited about it. You know, for the people that think they've sinned too much, you look at Aaron, who was worshiping a golden calf. God still kept him as the chief priest. Peter, who said, I never knew you, three times, he still was the rock. And, you know, maybe you've just been done something horrible and gone to prison. Yeah, Chuck Colson went to prison, walked out of there and established Prison Fellowship. And millions of lives have been changed. God uses broken and hurtful and even, you could use the word, disgusting people. But you're not disgusting to Him. He wants you to live into your calling. So we're going to help you do that. It's this weekend. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800, not new life, but 1-800-NEW-LIFE right now. Sign up. Come join us. 4 hours this Saturday. Going to be great. All right, if you want to join us now, 1-800-229-3000. By the way, a gift of any amount, we send you 100 days to freedom from shame. So many people are carrying around shame you do not deserve. And I think after 100 days in the devotional, the scripture, the prayer, the focus, I think you're going to find yourself either without the shame or certainly much less burdened from it. Gift of any amount, you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and we'll send you 100 Days to Freedom from Shame. It's yellow, and it's in this series of devotionals that I think they're fantastic. All right, we'll take a break and come right back with Mylon, Becky, and Steve on New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and I'm going to go to Marie from New York. She's been holding as we did another program before this one. Marie, how are you? And thanks for holding on there.
I'm great. How are you guys?
Very well, and we really want to help you here because you've been hanging on, and thank you for doing it.
Yes, so I was late logging on to a work meeting. I gave my reason for being late to this virtual meeting to my boss, and we started the meeting. So the next day, I had to go into the office, and I noticed another colleague walk in. She doesn't typically come on the same day as I do. I thought, does my boss have her in the office to watch me? I noticed my colleague looking toward me walking around the corner, and I felt as if she was watching me to tell my boss what I'm doing, what I'm not doing. Well, since my colleague has, you know, been coming into the office, I've been obsessing about it, constantly thinking about it, not sleeping well for the last 3 weeks. So what should I do?
Could you, or would you think it would be wise to sit down with your boss and say, you know, I just really feel badly about that meeting, and I'm wondering how or what you're thinking of me because I was late. You know, sometimes I even think maybe you're having somebody watch me, or don't say that yet, but just ask your boss if he has some things that he wants to say about that. And he's either going to say, no, everybody makes a mistake, or he's going to say, well, we don't make mistakes around here, and yeah, we're going to just find something else wrong with you or something like that. Well, what do you think, Becky or Mylon? Either one.
Well, I was thinking, Marie, are there other areas in your life where anxiety or obsessive thinking have kind of taken hold?
Yes, I'm bipolar, unspecified, and I have anxiety as well, and I've been fired 3 times from other jobs.
Okay, how long have you been at this job?
About a year.
Okay, so the reason why I ask that is because that makes sense. If this is part of the way that your brain works, it makes sense that something would trigger this reaction. And if you haven't already processed this with a counselor, I think that would be a good next step. I love what Steve suggested as well. A lot of times our obsessions are the stories that we're creating in our head that may not have anything to do with reality, except for the fact that you knew you were late, and then this coworker shows up, and then the story begins to grow from there. There may not be any truth, and no one is thinking about this as much as you are. But that doesn't make it feel any better. So I think it would be really helpful for you to talk with a counselor. If you don't already have one, we can get you one. But I just, you know, I think that there is some explanation for your reaction as you describe this. But I agree with Steve that you have to have more than one conversation. Also, the fact that somebody didn't come to you with a write-up or a warning about you being late, I think is a good kind of reality check as well.
Yeah, very good. Mylon, a thought?
So, Marie, I totally agree with Becky. This is historical, what's going on inside of you. If there's this expression, if it's hysterical, it's historical. So you have a lot of hysteria. That is, you are obsessing on this, you're paranoid, you're fearful, you have a history. But I would agree with Becky and say, and I was going to ask you, how early did you start obsessing about trying to figure out people's motives and intentions? How early in your life did you start that? And I would guess that you started that pretty young.
Is that true?
Yeah, it is. I would say maybe like around 27, maybe 28 or so, when I I was getting fired. I thought I was going to get fired from my third job, you know, and then it actually happened.
So, Marie, one of the things that I think is really important is for you to do historical work. A lot of people will approach what you're doing really more of a present-day approach of change the way you're thinking or working on your thought patterns, and that's important, don't get me wrong. But we also have to understand where and how in our family of origins were we hurt or neglected or abandoned or where did we suffer harm as a child? And then when did we start thinking about people's motives and intentions? What is my narrative? What is my story? And if we don't work on that story, we just simply live with a diagnosis and we think, well, I'm that. But you see, we can heal from our histories by facing them and also then acknowledging the reality of our histories. And then also grieving that history and finding comfort in the present day for that history. And then also getting angry at that history. Not that I have to be angry at the people themselves, but getting angry at the disservices that were foisted upon me. I think those things are really important to find a therapist that is historically oriented, not just present day.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you to join us. We'll pay your way. To our Saturday conference. I think that will really give you some insight into some things that we all value around here. And then I want to send you Take Your Life Back, and I want to try to find a counselor for you that could really help you. And I don't want you to have another day of fear of being fired again or whatever. You know, I think there can be great freedom there. A lot of times we need to change professionals that we're working with. If the results aren't there and they're not willing to try something else, then we need to maybe move on, and we'll help you with that.
You know, Steve, I think the other part of it, too, is recognizing where bipolar disorder does impact our life, and to have this plan, the strategy of when these kind of things occur, I have a team in place. I have a protocol. Yeah. I know that I need to do this. It's a big challenge for folks that have that disorder, but it can make all the difference for their present and their future.
Yes. Very good point. All right. So glad she called. Now let's talk to Marianne from Ojai, California. KKLA is the station. Hello, Marianne. How are you?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. A little tired from my trip to California and back, but had a great time there with supporting live action. But what's going on with you today?
I hope you had nice weather when you were here.
Well, it was fantastic.
What's going on with me is that I own a small grocery store, and one of our young ladies, it has come to my attention. Well, my question actually first is, how much should I get involved in this situation, and if so, how? But one of the young ladies that's come to my attention is quitting working for us to pursue a career of showing her sex life online. So it came to me through our HR department. She confided in somebody in our HR. And my heart just bleeds for this young woman. She's not very bright, and she's going to be getting a lot of money for doing this, and she thinks this is the career to pursue.
Oh, man, I'm so glad that you called, and I'm glad she has you. How old is she?
I think she's in her early 20s.
Mm-hmm. And let me just ask this. What would you be willing to do to help her?
Well, as I was waiting for you to answer my call, I was thinking maybe I could go back through the HR person and use her as sort of a liaison.
Okay.
I don't know what I'd be willing to do, to tell you the truth. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't even know if this is legal. Is this legal? I don't even know.
I don't think it's legal. I don't think it's illegal to care about someone and ask them if you could talk with them.
No. I mean, showing your sex life online. Is that even legal to do that?
I think it must be, because a lot of people are doing it. But my wife and I were on the board of a ministry here called Stripped Free, helping women out of the sex industry. And I actually spoke at an event, because there's a similar organization there in Los Angeles. And I'm going to I'll get the contact information for you, because I think they would love to be a resource to her and help her see, because everybody that works there, they've done what she's done or something like it, and they can give her a different perspective. And I would just offer, I'll get it for you, and then I would offer that
to
her.
Thank you.
But Mylon, you and Becky, what are you thinking about this? Should she maybe not get involved?
Well, I think, go ahead, Becky.
Well, the thing I'm thinking, Marianne, is how powerful to have a woman's voice speak to a younger woman making these life-altering decisions. And your involvement, Marianne, could be just simply that, speaking to her directly. How powerful it is to have a woman in your level of stature speak to somebody who's considering something that's going to change her life. Now, whether she makes, a change or makes a difference, I just think that the fact that this is on your heart, I think that can make a huge difference. And I just think speaking into her, seeing her value, could maybe prevent her from making that choice.
Right. Well, Mylon? That would be the best case scenario.
I totally agree. I believe you know this information for a reason. I think God has allowed you through the HR person to be aware of this.
Yeah.
I would want, as an employer, to offer resources to sit down with her, perhaps you and the HR director, and just say, tell us about this decision. We're worried about it. We're concerned. We care for you. You're our employee. And there's this illusion of fame and money, and we're so sad that it is your sexuality that you want to make money off of. And I would almost guarantee that she has been sexually hurt, that she has been abused, or she has found that sexuality is a means to an end. And I would want her to be able to even go to some counseling and be able to understand why she is making such an emphasis upon her sexuality, and that there is more to life than just sex. And to offer her just resources along those lines to help her. Based upon this story, I would say she's had a really difficult childhood, okay? You know, most 23, 24-year-olds don't head in this direction unless they've had a hellacious history. And I'm so sorry to hear that. But I would really want to sit down with a couple of you just so you have two people to validate the discussion and just offer her a way out of that. And
And my experience is that many times someone like her has a quote-unquote boyfriend that would like to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
And
are
you aware that she has a boyfriend? Or
yes, she's doing it with her boyfriend. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. So,
and he's happy to do that, by the way.
Yes,
evidently.
So someone to point out that she's being used, and that there's a better way. If they're living together, which I'm sure they are, if there's any alternate to that, you tell her, look, if you ever want to not live with him, we will help you if you can. But I don't think there's anything negative, and she may just act like she's not listening to anything you say, but she'll hear it.
Right.
And it's all out of love and care. Oh, what a great thing, like Becky's saying, that this person, this person at the top
wants to talk to me.
Wants to talk to me and cares about me. I had no idea anybody even cared about me.
Yep.
And if you do, you have a husband?
Well,
do you have a husband?
Yes, he's the general manager. He's the one that told me about the situation.
It'd be great if he could talk to that boy. All right, we'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, we're back, and we will do everything we can to help Mary Ann, and I will send you a couple of books. I'll send you How We Love. I'll send you Take Your Life Back. Maybe they can be helpful in whatever's going on there. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-229-3000. If you want help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And that's also the number to call if you want to join us for Lumina. We're about finished with this special Bring a Friend, $69 a ticket for this incredible all-day event there at Museum of the Bible. You're going to absolutely love it, I think. Or something's wrong with you if you come and you don't love it. No, we're doing everything we can. It's going to be a life-changing experience for many many people. All right, let's go. How about we talk with Ann, Pasadena, California. KKLA is the station. Hello, Ann. How are you today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate all of you and all of the stuff that you guys offer at your organization. I'm a New Life supporter.
Thanks.
So thank you. My question is regarding my 16-year-old daughter.
Okay.
She is suffered from PTSD. She just recently diagnosed less than a year ago, and she's also have anxiety issues.
Mm.
Right now, the main symptoms she has is she have insomnia. It's very hard for her to fall asleep at night, and so that truly affect her school performance.
What was the trauma that she went through? What was the trauma?
Okay, so again, it's related to me and my husband. We've been married for about 18 years. Throughout our marriage, we have a lot of struggle. My husband has anger issues. He grew up in a family that his parents fight a lot. I think he never really deal with all these issues when we get married. So during our marriage, there's my daughter witness a lot of anger. We have fight on and off throughout our marriage. Obviously, we stay together, and there's several or multiple occasions when he get angry with me, he will hit me. And my daughter, I think he witnessed the first incident when he was very little. I don't even remember exactly how old was she. Maybe she was 4 or 5.
Now, let me ask you this. Why have you put up with that all this time?
Again, I ask myself that as well. I don't have a good answer. Maybe.
Okay.
I'm weak.
Let us help you with this, because there are really two problems. It's her trauma, and then it's the situation that you're in. And I'll start with you, Becky. What are you thinking here when you hear this kind of story?
I'm thinking, Anne, you have trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that. And so that's the reason why you don't know what to do, because what happens when we are abused, and that's what you have experienced, is you are traumatized, you become frozen. And so it makes sense to me. I mean, it makes sense in a kind of weird way. I understand this, is that in an abusive relationship, once the event is over, we then believe that it won't happen again, even though we have record, you know, that it has. I wonder, Ann, have you ever, whether it's reported to a police or gone to a counselor regarding your marriage?
Yes. You know, I have, you know, I've been working on myself for the past 3 years. The incident has been reported, and I'm working with a therapist still right now. And my husband went to How We Love conference. We did over a year counseling. He is definitely much better in terms of his anger management. He has not raised a hand on me for sure for the past 3-4 years. My struggle right now is really when I see my daughter like this, I feel so helpless. I have tried everything to try to help her. She's on medication. She's seeing a therapist, but I have not seen any good result coming from the therapy. I am planning to take her for EMDR. The treatment.
Okay. Now I want to hear what Mylan thinks would be a good thing for you here.
And I think what I'm hearing you say is you're sending your daughter to therapy, your 16-year-old daughter to therapy alone. She's going to someone by herself. Is that right?
No, I go with her.
Oh, good.
So therapy usually will see her first, and then she will call me in, and I will talk to the therapist maybe half an or one-third of the time.
Okay, so what... And then you are not in there with your daughter. Is that right? You're in by yourself?
Most of the time, because my daughter is not comfortable. We was in there together one time, but it's kind of hard work, you know.
Okay, so we have to, and we have to take a break, and we want to come back.
Okay.
And when we do, I want to address that point. And so, Steve?
We'll take a break. Come right back for more of New Life Live. Glad you're with us today.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. So, Anne is struggling. Her daughter is struggling. And we really believe, Anne, you need the family all together, working together, if there's going to be some real healing here. I love it that you're going to get the trauma treatment that she needs. I'm going to send you 100 Days to Freedom from Anxiety. Maybe that will help her. I want to send you 100 Days of Prayer. Now, with the husband, that's a tough one.
Well, that's my whole point. The family system has created this anxiety and the trauma that has wounded your daughter, and your husband is the perpetrator. If the perpetrator is not in the room, and the three of you in the room together, and the therapist is guiding the family into really seeing and hearing and knowing what their reactions or behaviors are doing to one another, it doesn't, if that's not stated, if the daughter can't say what it is, and she has fear. But the family that caused the wound, the family can also be the healing agent when the dad understands,
yes,
I have harmed you. I have scared you. And to be able to talk to the daughter, because she doesn't know if this is not going to happen again.
Right.
Right.
See, she doesn't know. She just has this history. And anytime there's an argument or a fight, this is where her mind will go. You know, I got a letter from a director of a counseling center, and he said, now, don't forget, marriage and family therapist stands for marriage and family therapy. And so often people are split up, and the 16-year-old goes in by herself. She doesn't know what to say. The therapist doesn't have a full picture. And with the dad being the perpetrator, he needs to be in there. And if you want a more full healing experience, all three of you need to be in. And you said before the commercial, but it's awkward. That tells me that your family does not know how to talk together. You're not safe to one another. And Anne is not safe because the daughter feels as though mom can't defend herself. What am I going to do? And so there really needs to be a clear reckoning. And then Steve's question, a process of forgiveness and understanding and care. But then Steve brought up something early. I wonder what she would be like if dad wasn't in the house, if the two of you were separated until something different could happen. Maybe your daughter might sleep better if she yes. knew she was not in the house of a perpetrator that hits people.
Well, and but here's the other thing about that. You guys have not had a blow up for 3 or 4 years. That just means that it's brewing somewhere.
That's right.
If there hasn't been some sort of resolution in the family. There's a part of me that thinks if your husband has done the work, if all of you have done the work, you probably need to move into a different house so that we have a different paradigm of
I
how
totally
we
believe
do family.
In that, Becky.
Yeah.
Yes,
I mean, it's just because trauma is so powerful, the brain thinks that it's actually happening. That's why we call it post-traumatic stress disorder, because
right, that's
right. it believes that it's going to happen again. And so I 100% agree, family therapy, we've got to have some resolutions. And I don't know if this is your only daughter, Anne, but everybody in the house has to be part of the healing process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, there's nothing worse for a child. Well, I'm sure there's some things worse. What's really crummy for a child is coming to home and not knowing what it's going to be like that evening. Everything's predictable at school. Then they come home, and it may be everybody's expected to act like we have no problems or the big explosion.
How many times I have heard someone who grew up in a house like that said that when they got off the bus, they would check the driveway to see whose car was in the driveway.
That's right,
to
Becky.
Know what they were going to face when they got into the
That's
house.
That's right.
And then they just hold their breath and hope that the explosion doesn't happen. It happens every day. And we want to make a change for you, Anne. We want you to get help that way.
There were a lot of explosions in my house as a child growing up. Okay. And so when I was in elementary school, my stomach would start to hurt right before school got out.
Yeah.
Becky, to your point.
Mm-hmm. There you are. Mm-hmm.
And so my parents didn't get what was going on with me. I was raised, I was a child in the 50s. And so they took me to the doctor, and he said, well, let's do some medical tests. They took my appendix out at 10 years old, thinking it was my appendix that was causing my stomach to be upset. And yet it was an emotional problem. And Becky, to your point, the number of people – just between the two of us that have heard stories like that. When I hear the garage door opener go on, I all of a sudden get tense. So we have to pay a lot of attention. And to your point of being in a different house is really important, but family therapy is king, because your husband really needs to do a lot of repair and repentance.
He does.
And if he doesn't, you really need to set a firmer boundary by creating a boundary of separation to say, for the sake of my children or child, we have to be in a healing environment where fear isn't there.
Here's a reality, and I'm not putting men down. I'm just saying a lot of times men will live up to the expectation or the standards set by the woman. And so you have to lay down the law sometimes. I hope that you'll be able to do that.
Well, and you know, to Anne's point, her husband is simply continuing his history. He
That's
grew
right.
up with this traumatic history,
yep.
and so he is a person who has been through a lot of trauma, and it's just
It's trauma is contagious.
It is.
Right?
It is. Absolutely, Becky.
Speaking of contagious, Larry Sonnenberg is here, and he doesn't have COVID. He's not that kind of contagious, but his generosity is contagious.
He's a positive social contagion, I would say.
Larry, what do you have for us today?
Steve, Every Man's Battle coming up October 7, 8, and 9, right here in Orange County. And I'm really excited about this for a couple reasons. One is just to help the guys who will come, but the other is our live workshops again, post-pandemic, we're starting to build a little steam and getting more guys coming.
Larry, tell them about a pastor, not who he is in the church, but
There is a pastor who contacted us, and he's going to send 14 of his ministry leaders, men, to our workshop in October. And I'm so excited to think about where this is going to go. Uh-huh. And this will explode geometrically for all the men that are going to get help. And I'm hoping that there will be churches that think about doing the same thing.
Well, since we know from research at least 60% of the men looked at pornography since last Sunday, and about 30% of the women are looking at that or someone else, and then you add to that not just pornography, all the other stuff. It's one of the biggest reasons churches are not changing the world.
And this came about because this particular pastor at a marriage retreat separated the men and the women for a session. And during the men's session, it came out, and it was surprising to the leadership, how many men are struggling with porn addiction.
Yeah.
So they hit it head on, and I'm just so grateful for them.
I'm just sad it took that long for him to know that.
Yeah.
You know, that somehow, now I love what he's doing, but it is not an issue that hasn't had a lot of exposure inside the church.
Sometimes you got to be slapped in the face before you realize it. It's lingering there.
That's a great point. It was a real wake-up call. Yeah.
There is no pastor that doesn't know it's a big problem. They just don't know how big it is. Larry, what do people do if they want to be part of some of these great things that God's doing here?
Well, a couple things. Men, sign up. Women, tell your man, sign up. 800 New Life. Folks, if you can help us, we need to keep these workshops going. They're all one of the best things we can do. But the Every Man's Battle, restoring families and marriages, it's amazing. And your support helps us to do this and get more people involved, more people knowing about it. If we get, we'd get 80 to 100 people at this workshop.
Well, and there are thousands of people, thousands of men who have integrity today that walked into one of those workshops. And when they walked in, they didn't even want to be there, but everything changed. If anybody can support us, you want to be part of this, we'll send you 100 Days to Freedom from Shame, our latest devotional. Anything else, Larry?
Well, just to emphasize it, if we had 100 people sign up regularly or more, which should happen, we're going to have to get bigger rooms at hotels. It's going to be more expense to do everything we do, get more counselors there. There's expenses related to this. And God can handle this, but he's going to handle it through you. So please give when and how you can.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 100 Days to Freedom from Shame. It's a great devotional. If you've never looked at all of these 100-day devotionals, they're beautiful, they're well done. Go to newlife.com and see all that they are, all the topics that are covered. It's fantastic. We'll take a break, come right back for our final segment here of New Life Live. So glad that you've joined us today for New Life Live. And I hope you're going to have a great weekend with us on Saturday at the Recovery Conference.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Milan Yurkovich, Becky Brown. Hebrews 10:23, we believe this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 10:23. Let's go talk to Luella in Washington, D.C. Hi, Luella. Listening on WAVA. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. Thank you. thank you for coming back from California.
You're welcome. How could we help today? What's on your mind?
Well, the topic is shame, and I have plenty of it. But this weekend, I heard an interesting talk about equating shame with, like how my shame shows itself might be through addictions and obsessions, and equating that with how Adam and Eve, their shame took the form of God giving them fig, or they're putting on fig leaves.
Yes.
And it's interesting, and even in Job 31, verse 33, it says, "If I covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom." So maybe Job dealt with shame too.
Okay. Well, sure. Now, Luella, I'm glad you called and asked about this, because linking shame to Adam and Eve is a theological or a conceptual issue that could distract us from doing something about our shame. Because my shame, I don't know what Adam and Eve did down there, and it says in the Bible, but I don't think my shame's linked to their shame. I made horrible decisions, and I still make some sinful decisions because we're not perfect, even though some groups say you can achieve a sinless life. No. So I want to know what you're doing about these things, these addictions, these obsessions that are causing shame for you. What are you doing about that?
Oh, I've been kind of busy. I got into counseling, and
good.
I've been going to AA meetings for over 25 years. And
yes.
I have two service positions. And
nice.
I go to church, and I try to have an open mind and listen to people. Right now in my therapy, we're really working on my shame and stuff like that.
Now let me ask you,
Luella,
go ahead, Becky.
Well, I when I hear people say my shame, I always want to repeat that phrase that says shame off you. Because when we own it, it becomes a part of our personality that's not really the, you know, the specific term for it. But Luella, we got to be careful that we don't identify so closely with our shame that it keeps us from getting rid of it. Recognizing the places where we feel like we are bad. That, you know, as opposed to recognizing what happened to us was bad or our choices were bad, you know, those kind of things can really get us moving forward so that shame is not on us and it's not part of how we identify ourselves.
Mylon, you have a thought for her and her shame?
Well,
I
do.
I want to help you here.
I do. Kay and I are actually doing a webinar on this in a couple of weeks. There's a difference between being ashamed of a behavior and shame, which, as Becky said, is I am bad, I am flawed, there's something wrong with me. And where work needs to be done, Luella, is asking the question, who is the person that put shame onto me? And where, what environment was it? Because shame started probably a long time ago, Luella. And here's the key. One therapist put it this way. Shame began as a we, but with age, it became a me. So somebody imposed that shame upon me where, and they may not have done it intentionally, but their behaviors caused me to feel as though there's something wrong with me. So then what we do, the pain is so bad that we create a false self, or we create a cover-up for that those bad feelings, whether it's a fig leaf or whether it is alcohol, to make the bad feeling go away. And you can talk about trying to change your mind in the present, but we also have to ask the question, where's the source of the shame? And to really be able to understand and identify the fact that somebody imposed that upon me, and I'm not going to allow it to stay there, and I must deal with my historical origin of the shame and try to really figure that out, in addition to working on my thinking that might be occurring with your therapist.
Yeah. So there really are as I see it, three reasons that people have shame. One, they're doing something shameful. And the shame feeling is, it's a trigger, hopefully, that would cause them to not do that anymore and accept Christ's forgiveness for it. Second thing is they've done something in the past that they've never accepted Christ's forgiveness for.
Mm-hmm.
And I sense that that's part of your story. Christ died on the cross to wipe the slate completely clean, is what the Bible says. That doesn't mean, well, it's still going to have a little bit of yellow in it. No, white as snow. And then the third reason is what Mylon's saying. Somebody has done something shameful to you, and you're wearing that shame, and you must let that go. You know, I have been speaking at pregnancy centers for 30 years, and conferences, pro-life conferences, and a lot of the women that are there still have some residual shame. They say, I had an abortion at 16, and they believe that they chose that at 16. But you know what? When you hear the stories so often, they didn't have an abortion. They had an abortion done to them. Mother dragged them right down there to have it, or dad drugged right down there, the boyfriend pressured, forced, or something other than just a 16-year-old saying, I am now pregnant, and I'm going to go have an abortion. There weren't any other options. And when I've shared that, so many women have said, thank you. I was carrying that shame. There's no reason for shame if our life, our heart, and mind is focused on the redeeming power of Christ's death on the cross and resurrection. Mm-hmm. Now, Luella, why aren't you able to live shame-free?
Well, hearing you talk about the other women that have ended pregnancy, I did that when I was 23. Mm.
And do you know I paid for an abortion, too? Do you know I paid for an abortion? I pressured a young woman to abort my child. And I lived in that shame for a long time.
Yes, and I've heard you talk about that.
So you were 23.
Yeah. The boyfriend said, you know, you have to. And I did. Mm. And it was a terrible mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think God forgave you?
I've struggled with this for a long time, Pastor Steve and Mylon and Becky. I think underneath that shameful incident, there's other shame-producing incidents.
Okay. Well, I got to tell you, I'm sorry we're out of time. I'm going to send you some things to help you with that shame and help you with the specific residual post-abortion shame that I certainly experienced, but probably nothing like a woman would experience. You need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.